You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 30. Now, this may be quite an interesting podcast because we couldn't record last night because we had a massive thunderstorm overhead and couldn't put the podcasting equipment on for safety reasons, let alone the loud thunderclaps and the pelting rain on the tin roof here. And so we've got up early this morning to record, and I've chosen a theme of birth and death. And as we got all the equipment ready this morning, a huge truck drove up on the road right outside our house and started marking up the road, ready to dig it up, no doubt with pneumatic drills and jackhammers, and make a new road. So we've definitely got kind of like death of the old, birth of the new happening, but I'm just hoping that it doesn't start happening for at least another 30 minutes so that we can record the podcast just as well. We do this in a one take. 5 minutes ago, we also had a clap of thunder overhead, which is very unusual for this time of the morning in Queensland. And of course, we still have a dog who's sitting very close by and probably will bark at the first next truck or a labourer that walks past. So let's give this a go and see how we go. Anyway, as I said, welcome to The Dream Show. Now, I did have an email from Rosemary, and Rosemary wanted to come onto the show with her dream, but we couldn't work out a time that would suit her because she does work very long hours. So what I'm going to do is read out a dream. It's very short, and then I'm going to address it between the two articles that I'm going to read you today, because I'm going to read you one on birth and one on death, and I'm going to pop Rosemary's interpretation in between, and you'll see why. So if you'd like to come on the show and have your dream interpreted live, and if you want to know how that goes, listen to last week's episode when we talked to Anne. And this is another way, if you can pop a short dream to me that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, we can do that too. So just as a short introduction, here's Rosemary's dream. She said, "My husband passed away 12 years and 8 months ago, and I have often dreamed about him. Lately, I wake up in the middle of the night and smell his aftershave lotion. And in the last week, he came into my dream, and each time I said to him, 'You've been gone a long time. When are you coming back?' He smiles and leaves." And Rosemary asks, "What does it mean?" So for reasons that have become obvious, we'll be looking at that after I read you the first article. So the first article is about birth, and the second article is about death. And what I've done is I've picked a dream that refers to an article that refers to a dream I had before my first child was born, which is now almost 30 years ago. And the second article, I've picked a dream that happened when my grandfather died even longer ago. So one article is about birth dreams, and particularly makes mention of a dream I had after an imminent birth. And the other is about death dreams and makes mention of a particular dream that I had after a death. So this can help you to understand not only birth and death dreams, but how our dreams can process our feelings and our fears about birth and death. So I hope you enjoy it. The first article is called "Congratulations, It's a Vampire." And I actually wrote this one in February 2007. So here we go. "In my dreams, I give birth, but never to babies," began the caller to my dream talkback segment on radio last week. "I have birthed a vampire, a penguin, an insect. What does all this mean?" No doubt the caller was pretty startled to look down and see a vampire flexing its wings and flashing its fangs in anticipation of its first feed at its mother's breast. And no doubt she was relieved when she greeted her fledgling penguin that it hadn't instinctively tried to peck its way into the world with its sharp beak designed for cracking eggshell. As for a tickling insect, well, I shudder. The caller's dream reminded me of one of my own strange birth dreams. It was 26 years ago in this article, just before the birth of my daughter, Rowan. I dreamed I gave birth to a stick insect. I was a little disappointed, but mostly I was concerned about how I was going to look after this very fragile little being. I might squash it by mistake, or it might jump away and be forever lost, camouflaged on one of the hundreds of indoor plants that were de rigueur interior decor back in those days. What did my dream mean? During my pregnancy, I had been working as a high school teacher, teaching biology and general science. One of the introductory courses involved teaching the students to handle earthworms and stick insects, a course I managed to teach dozens of times without ever touching one of those creatures myself. Earthworms, to me, were every bit as slimy as the students believed them to be, even though, as I confidently explained, they were actually dry to the touch. "Pick them up," I encouraged the students. "There, see? It's not so bad, is it?" No one ever noticed that earthworms and I kept a comfortable distance. While some students overcame their squiggly, wriggly earthworm phobias, I never did. When it came to teaching the stick insect lesson, I feared the fragility of the tiny creatures. How do you hold a stick insect firmly enough, yet gently enough, to protect it without squeezing the life from it? For me, stick insects represented the fragility of life and a need for delicate balance between being too firm and too gentle. In one way, my dream was a perfect pre-birth parenting lesson. In another way, my dream revealed the natural anxieties of a new mother-to-be, hoping that my mothering instincts wouldn't go the same way as my stick insect care instincts. So far, my dream interpretation seems simple. I was about to give birth, and my dream was exploring my forthcoming parenthood. But while this was true, my dream had other levels of meaning too. When you dream of giving birth, you are dreaming about what you are creating, giving birth to, in your life. I had chosen to become a mother, to leave my job and create a new life at home with a baby. How would I cope without a career? How would I survive without intelligent adult company for hours on end, day after day? I was unused to spending time by myself in those days. These were valid and fearful questions. My dream showed my concerns that the new lifestyle I was creating for myself might be fragile, that it and I might feel lost or crushed. That was the deeper meaning of my dream. I didn't know enough about dreams at the time to understand this. As it happened, neither of my children turned out to be stick insects. All my mothering instincts kicked in, and we all survived to tell the tale. As my dream foreshadowed, I was faced with some of my personal fragilities during the next few years, when we lived in challenging circumstances in Nigeria and then in Ecuador, before relocating to Australia. I found new strengths, and Rowan and Ewan grew into extraordinary, beautiful adults. If I had understood my dream back then, I would have gained those strengths earlier, with less outer world challenge. That's the power of dreams. So what about the caller's dreams of giving birth to vampires, penguins, and insects? Well, vampires drain you of your lifeblood and energy, so perhaps she was creating something new in her life that was draining and exhausting. Baby penguins are born into icy conditions and need protection from the winds. Perhaps the dreamer was creating something new in her life under extreme conditions, something that would need supreme care and protection. It all depends, of course, on how the dreamer feels about a vampire, a penguin, or, in my case, a stick insect. Just as I put the label fragile on my stick insect, the caller needs to put her personal labels on vampire and penguin to discover what energy she is creating, giving birth to, in her life. There are lots of interesting similarities to contemplate between a vampire and a penguin. That got you thinking, didn't it? A vampire is a human or a bat, but not a bird, even though it has wings and can fly. A penguin is a bird, and even though it has wings, it cannot fly. When you look into someone else's dream to offer an interpretation, You can get plenty of clues by looking for connections between the various symbols in a dream. But I digress. Birth dreams are not just for women. In dreams, all things are possible, and many men have told me about their dreams of giving birth, juicy and intriguing details included. Alternatively, your dreaming mind may give dreams a wide berth and choose to explore similar subjects through symbols of animals giving birth, trees coming into leaf or fruit, or other metaphors. I loved this recent one of mine, so this of course is from 2 years ago. I dreamed I was packing up a stage, handing boxes and things down to assistants in the auditorium. The last item was a really heavy cylindrical package, almost 2 meters long. Although it was heavy, I could lift it and carry it. I carried it to the edge of the stage and called one of the assistants over. I half dropped and half slipped the cylindrical package into his braced arms. He took the weight and I joked, "Congratulations, sir, it's a boy." I woke myself up laughing at my dream joke. Yes, I had made light of birthing something heavy. This dream refers to the way I often make light of a big project once it is done and delivered. I write a book, labouring intensively for a few months, and as soon as it's done, the enormity of the task fades. And that's a wrap for this dream site article. A few hours of labour done, a package delivered into your inbox, or your ears in this case, and to finish, a joke to make light of the enormity of the task. Have you heard the one about the woman who dreamed she gave birth to a vampire? It sucks. Right, I heard a tiny little thunderclap in the distance, and I'm just moving on now to Back to Rosemary's Dream. And as you remember, I introduced this one at the beginning of today's episode. Rosemary, you've been dreaming about your husband who passed away now for over 12 years. And when we dream about someone very close to us that's passed on, we're often dreaming, of course, with our own grieving process and step by step moving towards the journey of letting go. You know, we dream angry dreams often of someone who's died because we're dealing with our anger, our feelings that, you know, how dare you leave me and abandon me? We dream our way through depression and all the other things related to grief. We dream our way through forgiveness. And finally, we reach a stage where we dream our way through letting go. And Rosemary, I feel that's what your dream's doing now. You know, in your dreams, you're saying, "You've been gone a long time. When are you coming back?" And he smiles and he leaves. He's not in your dream at all. This is you, Rosemary, dreaming about the process of letting your husband go. You obviously loved him very dearly. You've been dreaming about him for 12 years, and you're now coming to ask yourself that question. He's been gone a long time. Is he coming back? Maybe it's just time to let the memory of him, or not so much the memory of him, but to let the feeling that he should be with you, to let that go, so that you continue and always remembering and always loving your memories of him and always cherishing the kind of advice that he may give you as you go through life, still letting the feeling of his passing go so that you can heal and move on and enjoy other aspects of your life. So it's a toughie, it's a difficult dream, but I really feel that's what it's about. And if we'd had you on the show, we could have talked more at length and really got into it. But time to let go, to always treasure the memories, but to let go of the grieving process, Rosemary, so you can begin a really full healing process. And that's really why I picked this second article. And I'm just going to ask my husband to find the front page of it because I've just dropped it on the floor. And this is an article that I wrote after my grandfather died when I was 13. So it is, it's touching on the, thank you, Michael, it's touching on the idea of what our dreams do when we're grieving. Although I must say I didn't know my grandfather very well, so it's not a dream of deep grieving, but we'll see as we go along. I only wrote this one last week. It's called Gentle Disguise. My grandfather died when I was 13. I didn't really know him very well, and most memories I have of him are second-hand, borrowed from stories told by others. A person and a life fabricated from tall tales hearsay, and conjecture. He was well into his 60s when I, his first grandchild, was born. When he died, they found his heart pills tucked one by one under the mattress of his sick bed. He must have slipped them under his tongue, then slipped them out again when no one was looking. I have three pictures of him. One is the last photo taken of him relaxing in a garden chair. My grandmother kept that photo in a frame by her armchair until she died many years later. I have that picture in my mind's eye, in my photographic memory, you might say. One is his wedding photo, a grand affair in Budapest in Hungary. He's in his late 20s or early 30s, an English sailor. My grandmother is about 16, a Budapest child. You can see from the expressions on their faces how they felt on the day. And if you're listening to this podcast today on the 6th of November, you can go to my website. And if you go to dream.net.au/news, you'll see the picture that I'm talking about. The third picture I have of my grandfather is of him sitting on his motorbike a couple of nights after he died, when he surprised me in a dream. And that's the picture that stays with me, though I don't remember him having a motorbike in waking life, and I don't remember anything he ever said to me when he was alive. At the tender age of 13, that dream was life-changing. And at the tender age of 13, of course, I believed that Philip Augustus Newton had actually visited me from the afterlife in a dream. I've had vivid, colourful, full-on, textural dream recall for almost as long as I can remember being alive. I have always been fascinated by my dreams, and this was perhaps the first one that got my serious attention. The dream was short. This is it. I was standing outside my school waiting for my young brother to walk up from primary school so we could walk home together. While I was waiting, a motorbike came up the road and stopped in front of me. After exchanging a few words, the driver lifted his dark visor, slowly revealing his face. I was surprised to see it was my grandfather. "But you're dead," I reminded him. "I didn't want to frighten you, so I came in a dream," he said. Now that made sense, and I was thankful. I was surprised, my breath was momentarily taken away, but I was not frightened. "I'm here to answer any questions. Is there anything you'd like to know before I go?" he asked. "I only had one question," I said in my dream. "Is there life after death? But I don't need to ask that now." He smiled, lowered his visor, and rode away. Now, if you've been following my articles for a long time, this story may sound familiar to you because I have referred to this dream in another DreamSight article, issue 26, which I called Relativity, and I wrote that in October 2000. You can look that up on my website if you're interested. That article explores the question of communicating with the recently departed in our dreams and looks at the symbolism of death dreams. But today I'm exploring a different theme. What that dream did for me as a teenager was to assure me that dreaming was a safe space where I could face fears and find answers to questions as large as the meaning of life. I had no idea where to begin, and it would be many years before I would be able to interpret dreams, but I developed a profound respect for my dreams from that point forward. Today, as a dream analyst and alchemist, my task, like my grandfather's in my dream, is to help people safely face and understand the fears that limit and shape their lives, and to gently ask and answer questions that help them to clarify their vision and touch a deeper sense of meaning. I'm often asked why dreams are so bizarre, so masked in symbolic language. I'm glad that they are. They allow us to gently prize them open, to give our eyes and hearts time to softly accustom to the light. You may not know your deepest fears, but they show up somewhat disguised in your dreams. "I didn't want to frighten you," a buried fear might say. "So I came in a dream. I'm here to answer any questions. Is there anything you'd like to know before I go?" When you bury a fear deep in your unconscious, it exerts a powerful influence on your life. It may be out of sight and out of your conscious mind, but that only gives it more power. Your unconscious fears limit and shape the way you respond in the world, and you have no idea that this is happening. You bury fears you do not want to face, yet the saving grace within gently reveals these to you in your dreams, asking, "Is there anything you'd like to know?" Knowledge is power. When you know about your fears, what they are, where they originated, why you have buried them, how they are influencing your life, you can set them and yourself free. I bet you can't hear that rain that's just started now. I love that. The rain washing things away. I wonder if they're still going to dig up the road and build the new one. Anyway, that's coming soon. And we managed to get through without the big noises outside, without the dog barking, without thunderclaps, and just the lovely, gentle rain. Hey, maybe that's the saving grace I talked about at the end of that article. Listen, everyone, thanks so much for being with us for another week of The Dream Show. As usual, you can find more information either on my website at www.dream.net.au or, and increasingly, on my blog at www.janeteresa.com, which I'm really enjoying writing almost on a daily basis. That's it. Send in your dreams. Email me if you'd love to come on the show, because I'd love to have you. And we get a lot of great feedback when I talk to someone and interpret the dream in the podcast. And we're also getting a lot of great feedback from people that are just loving me reading the articles and chatting in general about dreams. So thanks for listening. That was episode 30. And I look forward to talking to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.